Welcome to My Father's House podcast episode 315, Leaders on Assignment. Senior Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, April 23rd, 2023 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Well, thank you. I just felt, you know, a lot of times it takes people 10 years in a church to figure out what they're about. You know, what are those people are just crazy. So Santos isn't alone. But you wander into a place and you wonder, what are these people about? Why do they do the things that they do? So we're not real programmy here. We don't have a lot of programs and things. But our focus is on raising people up to know Jesus. I mean, we sang at the beginning of this service, we sang Jesus is the center of it all. We really want Jesus to be the center of it all. It shouldn't be about me or about Pastor Karen or Pastor Don or Pastor Sarah and Santos. It's about him. And if we can lead people to have a relationship with him, and through that relationship with him, with his father, families, you're leading your family. You might not be leading them as good as you should or could, but you're leading them. However, whatever kinds of things you're doing with your family, you're exercising leadership, or in your workplace. You may feel like you're the lowest person on the totem pole, like you're not the boss, but actually you're influencing other people around you. And when you're influencing people, you're exercising a form of leadership. So those of us who are followers of Jesus, we have the opportunity to lead others to him by the way that we live, by the way that we talk, the associations we make, the kinds of ways we carry out our life are really, really important. So the church really needs leaders if it's going to grow. You know, it could be just Pastor Karen and I, and we do everything. Or we can raise up leaders who are working in the ministry and doing and carrying out the work of the ministry. It's one of the reasons that we have what we call cell groups. It makes an opportunity for people to minister into the lives of other people and to learn and grow together and become mature believers and help others to find him and to walk with him. So today I'm going to talk about leaders on assignment. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be a church leader, he desires an honorable position." So the Bible says that it's good, it's not required that you desire a leadership position, but it's a good thing. It's an honorable thing, should be an honorable thing, if you want to be a leader in the house of God. But also with that comes responsibility, so you should really be careful and watchful about how you conduct your life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1, it talks about how we should approach God. It says, "As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut." That's a good piece of advice in a lot of places, right? "It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Don't make rash promises and don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. After all, God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few." For some of us, that's a problem. "So too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool." Do you like how the Bible says it straight? "So let your words be few." Then it says, "When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. Don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That would make God angry, and he might wipe out everything that you have achieved. Talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead." So what does it mean to fear God? It means to respect him and honor him and be honest with him, be forthright with him. So we should be careful how we live. We should be careful about the promises we make. But that doesn't exclude us from wanting to be a leader or wanting God to raise us up into a leadership position. One of the reasons that we have different people speaking during the service is to give people an opportunity to talk to others and to express the things that God has put on their hearts. Now, sometimes those messages go too long and the service goes too long, but the idea is to give people some opportunity to have an experience to talk to others about their faith and to share the things that God is showing them. So this isn't about just one person. This isn't about two people. This is about leading people to Jesus, working together to equip people so that they can share their faith and so that they can be the believers that God has called them to be. So along with being a leader, there's responsibilities. In fact, the Bible talks quite a bit about how your life should look if you're a leader. So I'm quite well aware that some leaders have failed, some have fallen, some have gone by the wayside. And sometimes when that happens, you know, they take other people down with them. You know, if somebody professes to be a leader and professes to be a follower of Christ and then does some crazy things or falls into sin or, you know, does some crazy kind of act, it brings disgrace to the house of God, and it puts a stain and a mark on the church. But the Bible talks about how a leader's life should look, and it's pretty detailed. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says where it says this is a trustworthy saying: if someone aspires to be a leader, he desires an honorable position. Then it goes on to talk about leadership. It says, so a church leader must be a man whose life is above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. So that's a tall order, right? He must enjoy having guests in his home. He must be able to teach. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, and not love money. He must manage his own family well, having children who respect and obey him. If a man cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of God's church? A church leader must not be a new believer. He might become proud, and the devil would cause him to fall. Also, people outside the church must speak well of him so that he will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. In the same way, deacons, or another word for deacons would be servers or people who serve in the church, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. If you have integrity, that means that you're honest and you can be trusted. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the mystery of faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Before they are appointed as deacons, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and household well. So with leadership comes responsibility to live your life and conduct your life in a godly way, and to be respected and to be honorable in your dealings and all of those kind of things. So again, I say, you know, I know there are pastors, there are leaders, there's others in leadership that have failed and fallen. But if you determine not to be a part of a church or not to be part of a church family because somebody else has fallen somewhere, or because you've been in a bad church situation where something has been done that's been wrong, it's not a reason for you to cut yourself off from God, because you have to recognize that people are human. People make mistakes. People fall into sin. And no leader is exempt from, you know, the things that God says he should be. So if they're held accountable, then, you know, God will still be on his throne. And you can go on and grow in the things of God and be used in the kingdom of God. to further His kingdom, even if bad things have happened to you in a church or a church setting. So when you read those words, you know, you think, I don't want to be a leader, and I don't even want to be a server in a church if that's the high standard. But just think about it. If God has called you to this standard, that must mean that He's able to help you walk through that. But sometimes people think, well, you know, I can't do anything unless I'm a perfect person. And we all know nobody's perfect, right? So when we read these things, we think, leaders in the church, the perfect person, right? But here's God's view of that. God is not looking for the perfect person, because if you just take Jesus' disciples, for example, you find out that none of them were perfect, right? You know, Peter, James, and John were kind of the inner circle in Jesus' discipleship group, but they weren't perfect. James and John wanted to burn a village down one time because the people turned Jesus away. And Jesus said, you know, we don't do that here in this ministry. We're not a village burning ministry. So the other times, you know, they're walking down the road and they're talking about who's the greatest. I'm the greatest. He's the greatest. She's the greatest. No, you're the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. And Jesus said, you know, we don't do that here. We're not here to compare ourselves with each other. They do that out there in the world. You know, the world is dog eat dog. But you don't have to be that way here in my ministry. You're not going to be that way. And so he recognized that people weren't perfect, and he brought correction to them. So it didn't destroy them. He didn't kick them out the first time they tried to burn the village down, or the first time they, you know, they talked that way or trash talked to each other. You know, when James and John came with their mother, and the mom is asking Jesus, I want one to sit on your right hand and one at your left hand, it ticked all the rest of the disciples off. You know, they're saying, who do these guys think they are? These snot-nosed teenagers, you know? I mean, and mama's boys at that, you know? So they had problems. Jesus had problems raising up his disciples. Sometimes he asked them to do some ministry and they weren't able to get the job done, so he had to step in and help them. But he didn't kick them out because they didn't get the job done. He just encouraged them and showed them how to do it the way it should be done. Praise the Lord. So what is God looking for when he's looking for people to work in the ministry? He's looking for three things primarily. The first thing is he's looking for somebody that's humble, somebody that has a humble heart. Humility goes a long way. You know, the Bible says pride comes before a fall. And you probably all know people who have too high of an estimation of themselves, right? And maybe some of those people were in church leadership, and maybe that affected your life in some way. But that doesn't make it right, and that's not what God is looking for. He's looking for a person who will humble himself before him. The Bible says if we will humble ourselves before God, he will lift us up in due course, in due time. So when we humble ourselves, we're saying, God, you know, I'm here to serve Jesus. I'm here to serve you. I'm not here just to serve myself and to see what I can get out of this. I'm not here because I want people to look up at me or hold me in high esteem. I'm here because I want to honor you. I'm here because I want to show my love for you. I'm here because I want to lead your people in a right way, in an upright way. The second thing that God looks for is hunger. Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you really want him moving in your life? Do you really want to grow in the things of the Lord? Are you hungry to grow in the Word of God so that you can conduct your life in a better way, in a way that pleases him, in a way that honors him, in a way that brings the results that his Word says it will bring you? If you have a hunger in your heart, God will send you food for your hunger, and you will begin to grow in the things of God. And that's one of the primary things he's looking for. You know, you can't really help somebody into leadership if they're not hungry for the things of God. If they're hungry for other things or the things of this world, they're always distracted. And if they're always distracted, they'll never be able to carry out the things that they're asked to do. The third thing is that God is looking for is teachability. Are you teachable? Or do you get angry if somebody brings some correction to you or brings some different direction to you? You know, I served in my pastor's ministry for many years, for 13 years, eight of it on staff. And what I discovered is a lot of people, you know, when they come into the ministry and they begin to work for a ministry, they expect that it's going to be different than it was at their job. Because, you know, after all, these are Christian people. And then they get into the ministry and they discover that people are people. And not all people, even Christian people, are living everything they say they believe. And not everybody is walking in a perfect way before God. And not everybody has right motives. And so they begin to be disillusioned and uncomfortable working in the ministry because there's problems and there's troubles because there's people there. You know, one minister told me one time, he said, you know, pastoring would be really easy if we could do it without people. You know, maybe he's right. But then, obviously, there wouldn't be any reason for it either. So God is not looking for perfect people. He's looking for humble people who are hungry and teachable. And if you can be a humble person who's hungry and teachable, God can take you to new heights and new levels of your faith. He can take you into new areas of ministry, and he can help you to do things that you never thought you would be it would be possible for you. So I'm sharing these things not to discourage people from, you know, wanting to be a leader or wanting to come into leadership or wanting to be involved in the church family. I'm sharing these things because this is what the Bible talks about, because he wants our lives to conform to the life of Jesus. In other words, when people see you, when they see me, when they see us, they should be seeing not just a person, they should be seeing Jesus shine through us. That doesn't mean we're always perfect and we always handle every situation, you know, properly and correctly. But it does mean that we live a life of being forgiven, and we live a life of being forgiving. So one of the worst things in church is offense. Offense will divide a family. Offense will divide a nation. Offense will divide a workplace. And offense will divide a church family. So we can't live with strife and offense, but we can encourage each other to love and good works and to walking before God in righteousness and holiness. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what should be the motivation for our aspirations and for our dreams? In the Bible, it talks a lot about how to follow leadership. In Hebrews chapter 13, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would not be of advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things." So our motivation for serving God and serving others should be that we're submissive and accountable to those that are leading. So I worked in the ministry for many years, and there were lots of things I didn't agree with. There were things, you know, people can have disagreements and not agree over certain aspects of ministry or certain ways things are done. So I was grumbling about it to God one day. I said, "I don't like that. I don't like that thing. I don't like the way my pastor is doing that." And he spoke pretty gruffly to me. He said, "You know, son, when you get your own, you don't have to do it that way." I said, "Okay. Thank you very much." So the Bible exhorts us to follow leadership, but it isn't always easy, because sometimes we might not disagree, we might not agree with everything. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, if somebody, you know, if leadership is teaching wrong teaching or teaching things that are not in the Bible and things like that, you know, there's no place for that in the ministry. But if it's a matter of how we do this or that, you know, then if you don't like something, you know, pray about it. Pray for that person. Pray for that leader. Pray for the leadership. And be open and honest about it. You know, we're approachable. We might not change how we're doing something because there might be a good reason for doing it that way. After you've been around the track a few times, you figure out some things not to do. And you figure out some things that you should do that will help people and bless people. But primarily, we need to follow leadership and submit to them because they're watching over you. They have a responsibility towards you. And one day they have to give a report. They have to give an account, the Bible says. So if they're making mistakes and they're doing things in wrong ways, it's on them. It's not on you. Because God is holding them accountable for the things that they're responsible for. So the other thing to remember is that as God calls you into the ministry and as you take positions of responsibility in the ministry, is that this is basically God's boot camp for you, and you're basically sowing seeds for the day that you'll be in charge. So if you just think about it this way, I don't want to follow my pastor, but I want people to follow me. You better think about it again, because how's that going to work? Because if you can't follow leadership, nobody's going to follow yours either. So the seeds that you sow today will grow up, and they will bring a harvest to you, either a good harvest or a bad harvest. God's placed leadership for our good, not for our bad. If you go to the Old Testament, there's a really, really great story about Moses and the children of Israel. They had just come out of Egypt, and Moses was basically the judge. He was like the Supreme Court judge. Everybody brought their problems and troubles and cases to him. And the Bible says that he would sit in this judge situation from morning to night, helping people to settle their disputes. So his father-in-law visited him one day. His father-in-law Jethro visited him one day, and so he was watching what Moses was doing. He comes to Moses and he says, "Moses, what you're doing is not good. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the people." He said, "What you ought to do is you ought to select from among you elders or people, men, to help you do this. And you ought to lay your hands on them and pray for them and impart to them the anointing that you have to make decisions and judgments for these people. And let them take the cases and let them do what you're doing. And you only take the hard cases that they can't solve. That way the people won't burn out and you won't burn out either." So that day, Moses changed the way he was ministering to the people. And it helped everybody. It helped him, and it helped the people. Praise the Lord. The final thing is that God rewards faithfulness, he rewards loyalty, and he rewards commitment. Paul wrote to young pastor Timothy, he said, "But you, Timothy, have closely followed my example and the truth that I've imparted to you. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance that I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. The faith that I have, you now have. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. The patience I have with others, you now demonstrate." So Timothy was an understudy for the Apostle Paul. He was serving Paul. He was helping him. He was helping him in the ministry. And basically what Paul is saying is, you followed my example well. So when Jesus calls you to be a disciple, he calls you to be a follower. You know, we say it this way, you know, a disciple is a person who is following Jesus. A disciple is a person who is being changed by Jesus. A disciple is a person who is on mission with Jesus. In other words, who's doing the things that Jesus has called them to do. So when we talk about making disciples in this church family, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about being a perfect person. We're talking about a person who's being changed by Jesus. We're not talking about a person who does everything perfectly and well, but we're talking about a person who's growing in their ability to work in the ministry and to help others find a place with Jesus and to have their lives changed and ministered to. So the bottom line is that we want to be in a position to minister to people in this community. You know, all around us, there are people who need help. There are people who need deliverance. I mean, many people are so influenced by demonic things that are in the world around us that they can hardly navigate the world that they live in. You possibly work with some of those people in your workplace. They go day to day, week to week, and they're struggling. Maybe you're struggling in your own family because life has challenges. Life has situations that are difficult. Sometimes they have to do with health. Sometimes they have to do with finances. Sometimes they have to do with raising your children or issues with your grandchildren or others that you are, you know, that you love and you care about. But God wants to equip you to be a person who can make a difference in your family, in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, in the stores that you visit. You are that person that has the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of people. So is it easy? Probably it's not easy. But is it the right thing? Yes, it's the right thing. Because God loves you. He cares about you. He cares about you deeply. And he wants to raise you up to be that kind of a person. So if you don't feel qualified or you don't feel like you're there yet, don't despair, because you can come along and you can be there. With God's help and with the power of the Holy Spirit, he will transform your life. Some of it has to do with following leadership. Some of it has to do with being willing to lay down your agenda. Some of it has to do with, are you willing to change? Are you willing to be used of God? Are you willing to open your heart to the things of God? But God wants to use every person, every man, every woman, every young person in a positive and powerful way. The Bible says that we should be the salt of the earth. We should be the light of the world. And if we can't be that, then what are we doing here this morning? Why are we here? Because it's about that. It's about the time that we're called in. There's so many problems in the world that we live in today. So many challenges that are facing our nation and facing the world that we live in. So many people need help today. And if not you, who is going to help them? Who's going to reach out to them? Who's going to minister to them? So as a leadership team, you know, we can't be everything to everybody, but we can be the ones that God would use to help you if you're willing to be helped. We can be the ones who will minister into your life if you're willing to be ministered to. Are we perfect? No, we're not perfect. Are we reaching for perfection? Yes. We want to have excellence in ministry. We want to walk tall for Jesus, and we want to be counted among those who are worthy through the blood of Jesus to take the name of Jesus to the world that we live in. So if you will join us and help us do that, we can be a great church. A great church isn't a church full of people that have, you know, big numbers and all of those kind of things. A good church is a place where people are genuinely ministered to, where people are set free from the power of the devil, where people are healed and delivered and blessed, and people are raised up to do the work of the ministry. The Bible says that the ministry gifts that Jesus gave to the church were the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. And he said those ministry gifts were given to the church to build up the body of Christ and to equip them for the work of the ministry. So that's our job. Our motto here is to go, equip, and love. So when we're going, that means we're reaching out to people. We're reaching out into their lives. When we're equipping, that means we're pouring into people the things that they need, the things that will help them to be effective in ministry. And when we love people, That means that we love them with God's love, love that's beyond our capability to love. And if you will be that kind of a person, we can be a really, really great church. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's stand. I want to pray for you again, and then we're going to open the opportunity for you after the offering to actually pray individually with you. But I want to pray for those that are online right now. Father, thank you for these who are watching us today, those who are joining us by podcast. We ask you, Lord, that you'll raise them up in the power of the Holy Spirit, that your anointing will destroy the yokes and lift the burdens, and that your peace that surpasses understanding will keep their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you multiply your grace and your peace towards us today? Father, will you raise us out of that place, Father, of despair and depression and fear, and put us in a new place, Lord, where we're trusting in you and where we're seeing the magnificent power of your presence change our lives and change our hearts forever. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.